Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Conference USA Underdog Podcast on UnderdogDynasty.com, SB Nation's home for G5 football. Excited to continue the off-season series that we do every year where we bring in a beat writer who's got extensive experience covering one of the teams within Conference USA, and this time it's a familiar face for folks that have followed the site for a while. And Eric, it warms my heart to talk to this guy again. It warms my heart to see him doing well. Mr. Hunter Bailey of the Charlotte Observer. We're going to talk to him about some Charlotte 49ers football today. Hunter, thanks so much for making the time, dude.
Of course, man. It's good to talk to you guys. It's been a while since we got a chance to chop it up.
I know. What have you been up to now that, basketball season's wrapped up, football's in spring mode now, so you got a summer to look forward to now.
Know it, man. Been traveling this week. My brother graduated from Air Force basic training, so we went down there to San Antonio. I tried to link up with Jared, but did not realize he was still in Houston. But just got back into Charlotte today, just hanging out, man.
And what's 3 hours when football acquaintance is remotely close, right, Eric?
I'm trying to think, what's the furthest I've traveled for a football acquaintance? I'll have to come back and rethink that one. But yeah, you know, I'll put you this way. If I don't know if Hunter like gave Jared the heads up, because if he did, I would expect Jared to make that drive. Now, otherwise, I can't blame him because, you know, he's the one who's making the trip to Texas, right? They both were in the same state. I put it on Hunter. But given the circumstances, probably going to blame Calmus on this one.
Man, Eric, we tried to get up last time, too. We got to make it happen soon. Need the Underdog Dynasty reunion.
Man, listen, Joe, we'll come back to that, man. This dude was 15 minutes from my house, and you couldn't even catch up with him, man. He was doing his thing. So, you know, yeah, Hunter Bailey's a popular guy, man. That's all I'm going to say. He's a very, very popular individual. I'll leave it at that, so.
Oh, I know. I have Twitter. I've seen.
And yo, freaking Emily Van Buskirk has seen this dude more than I have. So, you know, and I remember Hunter when he was just a puppy. So, it's okay. I'm hurt.
Emily's a real.
Yeah. Emily is something. I'll leave it at that. If she's going to get pissed off if I mention her complicated drink order again. So, go. Anyhow, Joe, we'll get back to Charlotte football.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll dive into some Charlotte football questions here. So, Hunter, let's start with head coach Will Healy. What's kind of the feeling surrounding him and his staff right now after there was so much positivity surrounding this team at the start of last season, particularly when they beat Duke to start the season, but then dropped three straight to end the year for a final record of 5-7?
Man, you touched on a little bit there, the highs and the lows of last season. When Healy came in 2019, Charlotte goes 7-5 in the regular season, gets that first bowl game. I mean, you guys saw it. It felt like, okay, like Charlotte's turning the page. Then we saw COVID year, which I don't really hold against Will and that group, having 6 cancellations, going 2-4. And then you saw this past year, starting off with a bang, beating Duke, spirits were high. Sitting at 4-2, going into the bye week, and then FAU happened. Really, from there, it was kind of just a downward spiral. I mean, they beat Rice. Rice struggled, you know, on and off last year, and they needed every second on the clock to come back against them, and that was kind of their last win. So I think the feeling around Will Healy right now is that this is a really big year for him. Making the jump to the AAC, I think if they struggle this season, like you might not see Will Healy make that move with Charlotte to the AAC. I think this is a big year, and with the talents returning to this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you guys saw all the team needed last year was like a mediocre defense, and they definitely could have hit that sixth win and went bowling for the second time. So in short, I would just say overall, this is a really big year for him.
You think there's the potential for it to come to that point of Will Healy not being part of the program when they make the move to the AAC in 2023?
Not necessarily to say like he would be fired. I think that Will has the personality to make a jump, even if Charlotte isn't having a great year. He's done an incredible job at being the face of the program, but I do think that Mike Hill is looking for these on-field results to kind of continue trending up. And I think that, especially with so much of the team returning and them revamping the staff, I think that there is, I guess, maybe some increased pressure on this upcoming season with it being the last in Conference USA. I don't want y'all to read too much into that as like this is it for him, because I don't have any hardcore insight on that, but I do think that there is more pressure on this season for sure.
Speaking of returning talent, I think the biggest name for even people that don't really follow this program closely that's coming back this year is quarterback Chris Reynolds. Obviously, you've done a lot of writing talking about the legacy that he's created for himself as a 49er. Do you have an insight on his goals for this year, knowing that this is going to be his last year in college ball?
Man, I tried to write Chris out last year. We talked preseason, and he said he wasn't sure. So I wanted to write it like, okay, this is it for him, just in case it was, because I feel like he kind of deserved that send-off for all the time that he has put into Charlotte. So I got to figure out what to write about Chris this season. With him returning, his main goal is to win. And that's, you know, it's cliche, but that was the main thing he told me about his decision to return. Him and Victor Tucker decided to come back with so many other fifth and sixth year seniors. They felt like they had unfinished business. And Chris in particular felt like if he were to be looking back 20 years down the road and say, man, like I had a shot and I didn't take it, he would be kicking himself. So to come back, I think there are like a couple of different ways that him and this offense can take the next step. And I really think that they need to kind of transition back to the dual threat with him. I mean, looking on 2019, when Charlotte did the most of their damage on that 5-game win streak, I believe he rushed for over 500 yards in that span. And that's been, I mean, we're in 2022 now, so it's been quite a while. But I think that that aspect of the offense really has been irrelevant since then. They've brought in some other quarterbacks for some, you know, like run packages and whatnot, but that dual threat element really hasn't been there for him.
Solid insight. So on the defensive line, I know Charlotte just brought in Brian Baker, who had an impressive tenure there in the NFL, coaching with the Indianapolis Colts, as well as with the Carolina Panthers for a little bit there. Question for you, Hunter, who was the defensive line coach prior to Baker?
That was Marcus West, the infamous Marcus West.
was he the coach who was the guy who coached Alex Highsmith and Larry Ogunjobi and those guys, or was it someone else?
It was someone else for Ogunjobi and then someone else for 3 years of Highsmith's career. So Alex Highsmith was under Glenn Spencer for a year, and he loved Glenn Spencer when Brad Lambert was still a coach for the 49ers. I remember interviewing Alex. It's funny story. It was actually the first player I ever interviewed when I was kind of getting into this. And he was pissed because when Healy came in, they kind of cleaned out the staff and Marcus West came in. And at the time he was mad because he loved Glenn Spencer, but West's like defensive scheme put him on the outside with the 4-2-5. And then you saw 14 sacks and that drove him up the draft board.
Yeah, and there's those two guys, Highsmith and Ogunjobi, have generated a lot of buzz amongst folks covering the pro game right now. So Charlotte quickly kind of building sort of a reputation for themselves in terms of producing high-level defensive talent there. So what does that say about the task that's ahead of Baker here when you combine that with the fact that Charlotte's defense, especially against the run game last year, was not good?
For sure. I think that mainly before they need to worry about developing pro level guys, they just need to develop good college guys right now. They struggled mightily last year. Coach Bake has been a fan favorite at practice. He's a lot different in terms of coaching style than Marcus West. You could hear Marcus West halfway across campus, mad at players, frustrated and whatnot. Bake is a little bit different. And I haven't gotten a chance to know him yet. I am looking forward to that. But the players have responded well to his entrance. And I think they have increased talent on the defensive line this year. A lot of these guys are back for that fifth or sixth year. And then they have some young talent that saw a lot of playing time last year. I know it wasn't exactly productive playing time, but still seeing reps on the field, I think, can be beneficial. And then they brought in Central Michigan's defensive end transfers, Amir Sadiq. And Eric, I don't think you went to the Central Michigan game last year, did you?
I did, sir.
Oh, okay. That was a wild one.
It was, yes. But, and Amir Sadiq, good pickup for Charlotte, by the way. Continue on.
Yeah, he's the vocal guy. He's definitely excited to be out there, and I think he'll probably be the starting defensive end opposite Marquise Watts when September 3rd rolls around.
Any other names on this team that maybe folks don't really know about yet, whether it's because they weren't in college or they just transferred in or just didn't get a lot of playing time, that you think are going to become, you know, household names in the greater Charlotte area this year?
Yeah, I'll do one offense and one defense, and we'll start on the defensive side of the ball. So Tank Robinson, he actually transferred to Charlotte last season and was a week one starter. He transferred in from East Carolina. I believe he had 77 tackles in his last year with the Pirates. And he transferred in, had a great spring, and was rolling through mini camp, fall practice, and actually tore his bicep in week one against Duke and was out for the season. He's back, and I think that without a doubt, he's going to be the leader of this defense. He's definitely taken the step in the vocal department. Been able to see that at practice and talk with him a little bit. Definitely watch out for Tank Robinson at safety. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I really think you can't go wrong with talking about Grant DuBose here. I know people know who he is, especially off the jump of what from last season, going for two touchdowns in his, you know, season and debut with the 49ers. But he's incredible. And watching him at practice every day, like, there isn't a play that he takes off, or if he catches the pass, he's taking it to the end zone. It doesn't matter if it's a pat and go with a third or fourth string quarterback. Like, every rep is full speed for him, and I think that you're going to see a wild season out of Grant.
I know there's a lot of excitement around him last season, and watching him come in and kind of make the immediate impact he did was impressive, to say the least. So you mentioned that, you know, you've been watching a lot of their spring practice. They're right in the middle of it as we're recording this. Given what you've seen from those practices, what are you going to be watching for in the upcoming spring game?
I am looking forward to seeing how the defense matches up. Defense has had so many reps together. I mean, literally a full season last year. They returned, I believe it's 90% of their production on offense. Three of the five offensive linemen, one of which returns from 2020 from injury, John Jacobs. So I'm mainly interested to see how the defense can compete against the offense, because I think that, like I said, with the added chemistry and whatnot, the offense is going to be one of the best, most cohesive in the conference. So just to see how new defensive coordinator Greg Brown, kind of how his new scheme looks like for the 49ers, and just overall how they can match up talent-wise.
Hunter, you mentioned a little bit the move to the AAC that's coming up in 2023. Where do you think the Charlotte football program fits in the grand scheme of the new AAC?
I think it's really exciting for them. In terms of a fit, I think they definitely have some work to do in terms of being competitive. Because if we're being honest, Charlotte is yet to really compete for a title in Conference USA. And I know that there's five other Conference USA teams moving over, but there is a lot of talent in AAC. I mean, they're going to be moving in without a set starter at quarterback. There's going to be a lot of turnover, especially on the offensive side of the ball with Victor Tucker moving on after this season. They're going to have to find their bearings. They might struggle a little bit early on, but I think that overall it's going to be a great experience for them playing and really having that true in-state rival with East Carolina. I mean, they played App State a few times, I guess, 2020 now, and really not having another game with them until 2026 has kind of killed any of that in-state trash talk. So I think that having East Carolina is going to be wonderful for them playing. They're currently scheduled to play in 2023, I believe, so in the non-conference, so I assume that will get canceled. That will replace that game, but I can't foresee them playing them twice.
No, I mean, certainly makes sense. I know we're all going to be sitting on pins and needles as we wait for, you know, this new look conference to take shape next year. One more question before I toss it over to Eric for before we see what he wants to know about this year's Charlotte team. We talked on a previous episode about the longest road trips that we've respectively taken for work or otherwise. Would love to know, Hunter, what's the longest distance you've driven to cover a game? And then what's the longest distance you've driven in general?
The longest distance I've driven in general is also the longest distance I've driven to cover a game. I drove to Champaign, Illinois last year. Charlotte was playing them. It was their second Power 5 matchup. And the journey was a ton of fun, man. It was honestly all made possible by a professor that I had. He's a statistician for ESPN. I'm going to shout him out now. John Tobias, appreciate you. He reached out to me kind of early in the week and asked me if I was planning on going. And there was going to be no funding from the Observer. So I was like, you know, I don't really know. I'm kind of in a bind in terms of getting time off of work and whatnot. And he pretty much was like, look, if you can get credentialed for the game, let me know. So then and there I applied. The next day he reached out and said, let me know what kind of travel plans you want and I'll help accommodate. And man, that was a blessing. And that's actually, I had met Emily the week before when Middle Tennessee came to town. And I realized immediately that wherever she went, chaos kind of followed. That was a hell of a game. And so I was like, damn. Okay, so I drive, and she told me that she was going to be covering, I believe it was Cincinnati, Notre Dame. So I drive to Indianapolis to kind of break up the trip a little bit. That was about 9 hours from Charlotte. And I put on Twitter when I get to Indy, it was like, hey, you know, driving the rest of the way to Champaign tomorrow, but stopping in for the night. She immediately texts me and it's like, hey, we're in Indy too. Let's meet up. Come to find out, she's with Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eating world champion. That was wild. They were a wild group of people. And we all went out that night. The next morning I got up, had to take some ibuprofen before I drove to Champaign. Getting there, man, that was an awesome experience. It was a hell of a game. And Charlotte was honestly the better team for three quarters. And was not able to get it done for that second Power 5 victory of the season. But ended up driving back, stayed in Louisville the next night. I didn't do anything in Louisville. I was dead by the time I got there. And then made the 7-hour drive back to Charlotte the next day and then got to a wedding that night, man. It was a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, that sounds like life in your early 20s. That's wild. Or if you're just Emily Van Buskirk in general, right? Right, Eric.
Yeah, Hunter. Hey, I'm glad you had to feel it out for yourself. But I could have told you. I too have had the pleasure of being out with Emily Van Buskirk the night before covering a game, and the day of the game was long. So yeah, I can. We'll leave it at that. I'm gonna let her know. Wherever Emily Van Buskirk goes, chaos ensues. That's probably gonna be on her tombstone. All right. So let's jump into some Charlotte football here. I think one of the biggest questions on my mind, Hunter, defensively, you talked about it a little bit with the new defensive coordinator. I just want to revisit the situation with Brandon Cooper and Marcus West. Obviously, when you have co-defensive coordinators, as I can attest, covering FIU. It's always a bit of a unique situation. Normally, you know, for our listeners who may not know, not going to say this is the case with every co-DC or co-OC situation, but normally you have one defensive coordinator who calls the plays. The other one is just kind of there to support. That's what it was with FIU over not the past 2 years, but the year before, the 2 years before the 2021 season with Jeff Kopp and Jared Kruse. So, Hunter, can you give me a little bit of insight into that dynamic with Marcus West, Brandon Cooper? You know, maybe did that somewhat kind of contribute to some of the struggles over the past 2 years?
Yeah, I think so. So Marcus West called the plays from the box up in the booth, and then Brandon Cooper would do some of the signs down the sideline. And kind of what I understood about the whole thing was there would be a lot of indecisiveness from West that would create lack of communication to Cooper late in the snap cadence, audibles on the defensive side of the ball. And then that's when you saw Charlotte failing to get lined up, Charlotte not knowing what was going on. And then I think you saw 12 or 13, I think it actually was 14 opponents putting up career highs against the defense. I think that overall, the co-defensive coordinator system was a major struggle for them. And I think we kind of saw it unravel in that last six games. They moved on from Eddie Hicks, the cornerbacks coach, and then Brandon Cooper, the co-DC and safeties coach, right after the season. And I was confused for a while. They brought in guys like Jay Bateman, a former defensive coordinator from North Carolina, Dave Huxtable, who was at NC State for a while and is now serving as an analyst for Alabama, and couldn't really get a deal done. They talked with Glancer. He was the former DC under Brad Lambert, but Spencer ended up joining Lambert at Wake following the conversation with Will Healy. And I think that overall, Charlotte couldn't like nail down a direction. And Marcus West ended up going to the NFL. He's now an assistant defensive line coach with the Buffalo Bills. And when he left, I think that was kind of like, okay, this is happening fast. We got to do something. And that's when they kind of brought in, I think they were trying to go in a similar direction with Greg Brown that they were with Dave Huxtable, a coach with a ton of experience that's done it at both the college and the pro level. And overall, just an older, more veteran mindset and level of experience to the staff.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned Dave Huxtable, certainly a name I have familiarity with. I believe he was at UCF my freshman year. Yeah, I think it was before I was a freshman in college. So definitely remember Dave Huxtable. And I think that'd be interesting as well. Glenn Spencer, who I believe is at Wake Forest right now. So obviously not too far down the road from Charlotte. So interesting to hear his name kind of come from the equation as well. Hunter, I want to keep it on the defensive side of the ball and start. As you mentioned when we talked with Joe, you know, some of the lineage at Charlotte as far as defensive linemen being successful and someone who seemed to be on the path of being that next great defensive lineman at Charlotte. But it's had some struggles. Marquise Watts, how good is he?
I think you know what you got with Marquise. He's a rather small defensive end. I think he would probably fit better as a linebacker, but his get off the defensive line is unbelievably fast. He's quick, but I think that you saw maybe the best season that he'll have at Charlotte when Alex Highsmith was opposite him. I mean, when you have a third round talent on one side, they're looking at the double teams. You're getting the one-on-one every play or most plays at least. And that's where you saw his 9.5 sacks come from. He struggled with injury in 2020. And then he got off to a decent start in 2021, but he really kind of fell off late in the season. If I had to give him like an overall on Madden or maybe this new NCAA, I would say like an 80. I think that he may be better as a linebacker, but I think that at least in this defense, he will stay at the defensive end position. But Marquise is fast and he's just undersized. And I think that kind of played a role against him in this past season because Charlotte really has struggled with pass rush since Alex Highsmith graduated. I mean, you think 2020, I believe they had in six games, they had 5 sacks. And last year, I don't even remember the total, but it wasn't anything consistent.
want to get to the offensive side of the ball here. And again, you know, you and Joe talked about Grant DuBose, obviously Vic Tucker coming back. You know, he's a favorite of mine, certainly a South Florida native. But I want to go to the tight end spot. Taylor Thompson, you know, he's a kid who had an interesting true freshman year. I believe was a all-conference or all-freshman performer as a true freshman. Had a nice year last year. Didn't necessarily reach the same output in terms of receiving yards, but still was a force. It's a two-part question. One, what can you expect from him? And then B, what can we expect from the tight end position in the offense?
For sure. So Taylor tore his ACL and his MCL against Rice late in the season. I think that was like fourth to last game or something like that. And that obviously cut his season short. But Taylor is dynamic. I'm on record of saying that he's the best tight end in Charlotte history. So don't let me down, Taylor. But he's recovering right now. He just started running again. And I think he'll be good to go when the season gets rolling. But I haven't gotten to see him in pads or anything yet, obviously. There are two that I do like. Jake Clemens is one of them. He actually caught a touchdown in Miami against FIU last year. And he's 6'5", big dude. I think he's the tallest in the room. And it's kind of coming together for him this year. Interested to see more reps with the ones and whatnot, how that plays out. And they have Bryce Kennan. They're both fiery, man. They've been in some tussles at practice, not with each other, but with the opposing defense. And then there's one incoming freshman, Jake McTaggart. He's finishing his final semester of high school right now. I think he's playing basketball, or I guess he was playing basketball. I guess that's over now. But when he enters, I'll be interested to see kind of how he matches up. He's really long, probably the biggest vertical threat of the three that are healthy right now.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter, part of the reason I asked you the question about the tight ends was because down in Miami, you mentioned Jake Clemens catching a touchdown, Taylor Thompson caught one, and Ryan Carrera also caught one as well. So, you know, definitely down there on the goal line, those tight ends were certainly a factor. So it was interesting to see what kind of the progression may be with the position that offense. Want to take it to the special teams. That's as a spot that I know has been a source of consternation with some Charlotte fans. Shout out to 1010. Of course, even 1010 comes in my city and he can get up with me, but Hunter Bailey can't, but we'll save that for another time. Hunter, well, the special teams, what's kind of, you know, the view of the special teams as a whole? We know John Cruz, of course, you know, he's kind of a proven commodity, but what's the view of the special teams as a whole entering 2022?
For sure. So Coach Hancock is back, the special teams coordinator, and I thought he did a really, really good job last season. And if you would have told me last year that, like, if I had to put my life on the line of Charlotte not getting a punt blocked, I would be dead. Like, there was no way that I was going to believe that because they had struggled with that for so long. But they brought in Bailey Rice, he's an Australian kicker. And whether it's the rugby-style rollout, the fast release, or just a better blocking scheme, Charlotte did not have a blocked punt last season. And the punt coverage was really, really good. Pretty much all of the punt returners are back. And I think, like, Vic Tucker is dangerous back there, but I think he's so valuable on offense and then struggled with two concussions last year that I think you keep him off of special teams. So I'll be interested to see who that returner is. They've put Giovante Howard back there. They've even had Grant DuBose back there, Henry Rutledge. I would like to see Henry get some snaps. He's deep on the depth chart at running back, but that kid can play. As far as Jonathan Cruz is concerned, I like Cruz. I'm glad he's back this year. But they did bring in this guy, Braden McAllister, and he's going to push Jonathan. I don't really think there's been serious competition for Cruz at all in the past 2 to 3 years. Like, his numbers have dwindled every season, I believe. I think last year was more of an up year, but there was a lot of inconsistency. I do like Braden McAllister. I think that Cruz is still going to be the guy, but Braden could potentially be that specialist for maybe onside kicks or anything like that. But overall, special teams still trending up. They got Shad Bird returning kicks, and he had a really good season last year at that, winning special teams player of the week. I think that was the FIU game.
Yeah, no, I believe you're correct on that one. Hunter, before we get ready to close this one up, I'm going to ask you, because listeners of our podcast know we like to have a little fun. Joe got his one question in there about your travels. I want to ask you first, What is the most memorable press conference that you've attended? You know, again, when I met you, you were a puppy, just getting started in the game, and now you've got, you know, a few years of experience under your belt. What's the most memorable presser you've had in your time covering the 49ers? It doesn't matter what sport it is.
So two come to mind, one good, one bad. I'll start with the bad. It was after that they were both in this past season, so maybe this is recency bias, but I don't know. After the FAU game, Charlotte led that game at half 9-7 and lost that game like 38-7 or something like that. Didn't score in the second half, but losing that game 38-7 like that post game, Will Healy was one of the most, it was a weird experience. He walked in the media room and he's one of those people that's never too high or too low. And you could just tell like the feeling around the media room was not good. And he walked in and it's like, man, y'all don't have to feel bad for me. Like, let's get this started. Ask me the tough questions. And no one really said anything. And that's kind of how it was. So I led into it and I think I asked every question. And one, I asked him about the second half feeling, you know, going into the half leading 9-7. And his response was, it felt like Willie Taggart had the keys to his soul in his hand and was just watching him from across the field. I don't know what it was, but like that, like the way that he said it and the energy that he spoke with was like, man, like I, like that was tough. We're going to transition to something happier than that. One thing I did last year, and I'm probably going to do it again this year and actually try and make something of it, is I asked players their pregame rituals and pregame music and whatnot. And it was Tyler Murray and Chris Reynolds were the two players made available. And Tyler Murray has since transferred to Memphis, but Tyler's hilarious. And I asked Tyler, you know, what was his pregame music? I think he responded like Lil Baby, Future, J. Cole, something like that. I think it was Lil Baby. And then I asked Chris, and Chris laughed and asked Tyler what Tyler thought that Chris listened to pregame. And it gets kind of quiet for a second, and Tyler leans up and just goes, "Just a small town girl." We lost it, man. And just like the energy during the week with that team, like they were always goofing around, always laughing. So that's probably been my favorite too. I think I had to cut my audio recording just entirely because everyone was laughing.
Hunter, really quick before I get to my other question, remind me, didn't Tyler Murray pull the prank on Will Healy that he was transferring last year?
He did. So when it happened this year,
go ahead, Hunter.
It kind of felt like he pulled a prank on me. Like I know he didn't. Tyler's a good dude, and I'm cheering for him this season, but. Right after the season, I texted him and was like, "Hey man, if you're going to the league, let's do an interview and kind of get the draft buzz going because I think Tyler can be a next level player." And he responded, was like, "Man, I'm coming back. Like we have one more year. I don't like how it ended. I'm looking forward to coming back." I was like, "All right, cool. Let's set up an interview." We do an interview, talk all about him returning as a captain, what the work he was going to put in, the struggles from last year. And I post the story like senior captain's coming back. Great way for Charlotte to start the offseason. And then like 2 weeks later, he's like, "Man, I'm in the transfer portal." And I was like, "Oh."
Oh man. Okay. No, I've had a similar experience, Hunter. So it's growing pains, man. Here was the other question. You know, Joe will know that we like to do something music or food related. So I'm gonna let you pick. You want music or food?
Let's go music.
Top five artists right now.
Oh, top five artists right now. I'm going to go with Cole, Lil Baby. Mac Miller is probably my favorite of all time. So I don't know if you can call that right now, but no, rest in peace.
That's cool. That works.
Sheesh. I need to pull out my phone. I'm stumped.
It's fine. We'll edit out the dead air.
I feel like you can never really go wrong with Drake. And then I'm going to round it out. I'm going to give you a weird one. My Chemical Romance.
Nothing wrong with that.
Middle school. Hey, man.
Nothing wrong with the Black Parade. You know, when your father takes you into the city to see a marching band, you gotta step up. You know?
Dude, I wanted to
see them. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, that was a great line, Jeff. I wanted to see them so bad when they were touring in 2020, and then that got canceled. So rip to that, I guess. Oh, well.
And with that, Joe, we'll pass it back to you, sir. So I'd say four out of those five. No. You know what? I got enough faith in you. I'd say three out of those five, you'd probably be somewhere in your repertoire.
Eric just found out who Phil Collins was like last year. So like, don't.
That's not. Come on, Joe. Joe, I'm not going to slander me real quick with the sneaky snippet of the podcast. It wasn't I didn't know who Phil Collins was. There were certain. Okay, so Hunter, for all our listeners and you, Hunter. Really quick. Anytime I'm in Publix, there's always like low-key bangers, right? But they're from the 80s. So I got to do the Shazam to figure out what am I listening to. 9 times out of 10 is Phil Collins. So yep. I know the major Phil Collins hits, right? But the deep cuts, I didn't know. So that's what it is, Mr. Londrigan. I'm not going to let you slander me with I didn't know Phil Collins was a year ago.
I worked up at Publix for a brief stint early in college, and I know exactly what you're talking
about. Thank you. If you're ever with shopping is a pleasure, it is a pleasure. And it makes me wonder what they were playing in 1986, because in 2022, they are playing 1986 greatest hits.
Oh, man. Love when we get to talk music on here. It's always enlightening. But lots to look forward to for the Charlotte football program. Lot to bounce back from after last year. But if you want to follow that journey, follow Hunter Bailey on Twitter and check out his stuff in the Charlotte Observer, and also does some stuff for us on UDD occasionally. So keep an eye out for that. Hunter, thank you so much for your time, man. We'll talk to you very soon. All right, so thank you all so much for listening once again. If you want to follow Eric and myself on Twitter, it's at @EricC_Henry_ and at @JOEHIO_. And of course, at Underdog Dynasty on Twitter for more G5 football updates every day. And subscribe on Apple if you haven't already. Leave us a review. We'd love to know what you think, especially for Eric and Hunter's music taste here. Happy football watching, everybody. We'll talk to you very soon.